السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدًا عبدہ ورسولہ اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ انبیاء دنیا میں آتے ہیں.
It says that prophets come to the world to bring mankind closer to God, to make man worshippers of God, and to make man practice God's commandments. Amongst all the prophets, our master and guide, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, brought the most perfect teaching with him. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did full justice to that teaching that was revealed to him. The manner in which he did justice to the teaching that was revealed to him was completely peerless. He took this message of truth to the Bedouins of Arabia. He took it to the slaves. He took this message of truth to the tribal chiefs of Makkah without any fear whatsoever. And he took this message to even powerful kings. And in doing so, he reminded all of these groups of people towards the rites due to God's worship. After him, this immense task was carried out by the companions or the Sahabi of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who took this message to the entire world. 1400 years later, in accordance with the promises of God Almighty, the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the world. He once again revived this mission and he called the world towards Allah the Supreme. He taught the world how the path leading to God could be ascertained and how it could be reached. And he informed that if one is in search of God, then the path leading to God is only and only Islam today that can achieve this objective. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, also provided this very invitation to non-Muslims. In one of his verses of poetry, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "Come people, for this is where you shall find the light of God. Elsewhere in his writings, the promised Messiah Anumbibi states, a study of the religions of the world reveals that every religion except Islam contains some flaw or the other. This is not because they were all false in their origin. Hazur says, in other words, the promised Messiah explains that all the flaws found in religions today are not due to the reason that they had flaws at the outset, but as the promised Messiah Islam continues, but because after the advent of Islam, God gave up the support of other religions. They became like neglected gardens, which had no gardener to look after them, and for the irrigation and upkeep of which no arrangement had been made. So gradually, they began to decay. All their fruit-bearing trees became dry and barren, and thorns and weeds spread all over instead. Spirituality, which is the root of all religions, was lost from all these religions, and nothing was left but mere words. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, on whom be peace, explains that because Islam is the last and final Sharia, or law, thus God the Exalted did not neglect the teachings of Islam and protected it from becoming dry. Rather, in different locations, at different times, in every century, in order to keep this garden of Islam alive and fresh, Allah the Almighty continued to send guardians. And the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says that in the current age, I have been sent by God, and I am the Mujaddid, the reformer of the last millennium. Hazur says, therefore, in order to become a fruit-bearing tree in that beautiful garden, to bond yourself with that ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a duty of every single Muslim. Because establishing a living connection with God Almighty can only be achieved through this means alone. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, conveyed the beautiful teachings of Islam not only in India, but rather beyond the confines of India also. He infused this spirit within the people who took his bet, his pledge of allegiance, that is, the companions of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, that tell the world to come closer to God and to establish a connection with their Creator. This connection can only be formed in the true sense by bonding oneself with the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Those who took the bet, the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, included poor people, laborers, landlords, farmers, uneducated village folk, business people, office workers, and even educated persons. All of these people understood and comprehended the message of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, according to their individual capacities, and they benefited from being in his company. After comprehending the true message of Islam, they strove to convey that message within their respective spheres. They acquired true knowledge and insight regarding the superiority of Islam over other religions, and became a part of those people who invited others towards God. Therefore, these were the people who strive to their utmost to rapidly spread the true message of Islam in India and beyond. At this time, I will relate some accounts relating to the preaching efforts of these people. Hazrat Imam Deen Zahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, states that once Maulvi Fatah Deen Sahib wrote a letter to me that in Dharamkot, Hazur says that Dharamkot is the name of a place. So in Dharamkot, Maulvi Abdul Subhan Mumyanawala has come for a debate. Come immediately from Qadian with a Maulvi or religious scholar. We took Maulvi Abdullah Sahib Kashmiri and reached Dharamkot. There were many people gathered there. Maulvi Sahib, upon seeing this large gathering, went to Bagewale to Sardar Bashan Singh. Then our entire Jamaat went to Baguvali. Due to the zeal that was in them for tabligh or preaching, finally the debate took place with Sardar Bachchan Singh as the chair, and a discussion was held regarding the issue of the life and death of Jesus, peace be upon him. However, the opposing camp then stalled and said they would not proceed until it could be proved that there was evidence that Mirza Sahib's name is found in the Holy Quran. Further, they placed the condition that the name should be shown in the Holy Quran as Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, son of Mirza Ghulam Murtaza. Only then would they accept and proceed. Otherwise, they said, we would not continue with the debate. So Maulvi Abdullah Sahib replied that I will provide you evidence from the Holy Quran. Thus the debate restarted. The other Maulvi then demanded the evidence. So Maulvi Sahib from our side said that all the prophets who came in the past regarding whom prophecies were made, first show any citation of their names with parentage in the Holy Quran. But if this method was not documented as regard to earlier prophets, why is this question raised now? The opposing camp did not provide any sensible response to this. Ultimately, they sat down, embarrassed. Sardar Bachchan Singh, who was chairing this debate, exclaimed that this Maulvi has no knowledge, and he started abusing the other Maulvi. Finally, it says the narrator that Allah the Almighty granted them victory and success. He relates that we mentioned this incident to the promised Messiah, Noon be peace, who said, why did Maulvi Sahib not say that Allah the Almighty has given my name in the Holy Quran as Isma'u Ahmad, that his name will be Ahmad? Hadrat Peer Iftikhar Ahmad Sahib writes about his respected father, Peer Ahmad Jan Sahib. And he writes this before the claim of the promised Messiah, Noon be peace. He says that my father accepted even then that the promised Messiah, in whom be peace, was the Mujaddid of this age. With great fervor, he propagated this message amongst his friends and acquaintances, and he also published an extensive leaflet. The narrator writes that at this time, this has already been published in the Al-Fazl. In addition to preaching efforts, he and his followers would partake in monetary contributions. In fact, the final part of his life was spent in the endeavors to carry out preaching efforts and also provide financial contributions. Hazur says, in this era, this was also the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, whom be peace. With the grace of Almighty Allah, aside from books and other literature of the Jamaat, through MTA, God the Almighty is enabling the propagation of the message of Islam to spread in different languages. In the outset, when MTA began, there was only one satellite that broadcast for a few hours. Today, with the grace of Almighty Allah, the programs of MTA are broadcast on 10 satellites all over the world. Where in India, in certain places, large satellite dishes were required to receive MTA. There, efforts are being made and facilities being provided so that small satellite dishes can be used of 1.5 or 2 feet through which the programs of MTA can be received. Inshallah, God enabling. Nonetheless, now I return to relating these accounts. Hadrat Master Nazir Hussain Sahib, son of Hakim Muhammad Hussain Sahib, Marhami Isar, narrates that since childhood I had a great zeal for tabligh or preaching. Until 1903, my father lived in Bharti Darwaze, Lahore, in the area of Patranga. During those days, an Ahmadi, Abu Sayyid Nazri, had come to visit my father. Observing my keenness towards the religion and tabligh, that is preaching, he provided me with some simple arguments regarding the death of the Messiah, Jesus, peace be upon him, and the advent of the promised Messiah. I would present these arguments before the Imams of various mosques and demand that provide the answers to these. At the time, I went to the Imam of the mosque in Bharti Darwaze, and I presented these arguments before him. I will only respond to you, he replied, when you go with the promised Messiah alayhi salam for a walk when the dust is blowing in the wind. Then, when you return home, observe that is there dust on his face like others? Hazur says, in other words, this Imam placed a stipulation that go for a walk with the promised Messiah and observe that when the dust and sand is blowing in the wind, does that dust and sand settle on the face of the promised Messiah on whom be peace? The Imam says that if you witness that it does not settle on him, then I will provide the answer. Hazru says he did not say that I will accept. He said I will only provide the answer and I will explain the facts and realities to you. So this narrator continues that because previously I had many opportunities to walk with the promised Messiah alayhi salam, thus immediately I set off for Qadian with my father. I went for an early morning walk with the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He would walk rapidly during the morning walks. At times I would have to run to catch up with him. By coincidence, on that day the wind was blowing. Sand and dust rose up in the air and fell upon everyone there. When the promised Messiah alayhi salam returned from his walk and stood before the round-shaped room of his home, all his companions encircled him and stood around him. Breaking through the circle, I stood near to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. I compared the countenance of everyone standing there with the countenance of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and I was struck, entirely dumbfounded, that there was not even a hint of dust or sand upon the countenance of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, whereas everyone else's faces were filled with dust and sand. I mentioned this to Hazrat Khalif Tomasi Awwal, may Allah be pleased with him, on that same day. He responded that this is a sign of his being the promised Messiah. I then returned to Lahore and I went back to the same Imam of that mosque, explaining to him that I had also mentioned this incident to Hazrat Khalif Tomasi I, saying that he had said that this is a sign of the promised Messiah. So that Maulvi abruptly stated that I do not accept this. Nuruddin has made this all up and has told you to say this. The narrator of the account says, in short, he was deprived of this blessing, whereas we witnessed the sign with our own eyes. Hazrat Sher Muhammad Sahib relates, once I saw a dream that a well is filled with milk. I give certain friends bucket loads of milk from that well. Subsequently, the well dried up. Upon this, I go to Maulvi Fatadin Sahib and I relate to him this dream. He responded that go to Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib or go to Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib. I thus went to Qadian. I related this dream to Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, who said, milk could be interpreted as knowledge. I replied that I have no education whatsoever. This knowledge, he said, means the knowledge that is taught by God the Almighty, and the bucket loads of milk that you provided to others means that many will benefit from your knowledge relating to the claim of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The well drying up means that those who stopped you from carrying out tabligh or preaching and stopped you from saying Mahdi relating to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, will one day die right before your eyes. Consequently, he says, all of these things came true. Despite fierce opposition in Khan Fata, villages upon villages, due to my preaching, God's support and succor, and the prayers of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, became Ahmadis. Hazrat Qazi Muhammad Yusuf Sahib states, during my travels of India, he was from Mardan, I travelled to Bombay, Delhi, Agra, Shimla and Calcutta. In Balochistan, I went to Sibi, Quetta and Mustan. In Afghanistan, I travelled to Jalalabad, Kabul and Charikar Namani. In Punjab, Komari, Qadian, Gurdaspur, Amritsar, Rawalpindi, Sialkot, Lahore and Wazirabad were all seen by me. I saw all the agencies in Sarhad, then in Savat and Jammu Kashmir also, who visited by me. In Rozabal, I saw the grave of Hazrat Yuzo Asaf or Yus Asaf, which is in Mola Khanyar. Since the day of my birth, my pledge of allegiance, all students of the Islamic school in the city of Peshawar and in all the districts of the area would call me as Qadiani, Mirza Qadian and Qadian. Hazru says, in other words, since the day of his birth, he expressed his newfound faith in such a way that he became renowned all over. He says, if, for example, I went into the football field, this is all people will be talking about. In this way, Ahmadiyyat spread profusely. People started asking questions of me. On a daily basis, question and answer sessions and also discussions ensued in abundance. Gradually, in school in Shahi Bagh and also wherever the opportunity arose, I preach in this manner. Eventually, this message and preaching came out of the confines of the school and spread in Peshawar and also Sarhad. This is because in all the districts I traveled to in Sarhad, I went alongside the Honorable Commissioner and I had the opportunity to travel to all the agencies in Sarhad. I would go to meet all the students of the Islamic school in their boarding and would preach to them there. Through my writings, my speeches and my discussions, Ahmadiyyat spread all over Sarhad and these areas. In particular, elder people became Ahmadis. Those who became Ahmadis through me, or who became Ahmadis through those who became Ahmadis through me, they must number approximately 200 or 250. Some of these have passed away whilst others are still alive. During the second Khilafat, some of these deflected to the Lahoris whilst the others remain within the Jamaat. Hadrat Ahmad Din Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, son of Mana Sahib, states, "Once I heard in a Friday sermon the promised Messiah on whom be peace state himself, even the uneducated in my community will prevail over others who will not be able to compete with them." In other words, non-Ahmadis would not be able to compete with any Ahmadi. He states that, "I myself have witnessed that despite the fact of being uneducated and unread, I have completely defeated the non-Ahmadi mullahs to the extent that they would say that you lie that you are uneducated and unread." Azuru says, in other words, the Maulvis refused to believe that he was uneducated. Hazrat Dr. Muhammad Bakh Sahib, son of Miaq Ali Khan Sahib, states, "In 1903, I took the bid in the district of Shimla via a letter. I met the promised Messiah alayhi salam in 1902, when the promised Messiah alayhi salam placed some mandi or type of colouring on his beard, and he was also wrapped in some sheets. He was situated in the house adjacent to the Masjid Mubarak on a straw-like bed. There were four or five people present whom the promised Messiah alayhi salam met. He inquired about everyone's well-being and he asked me where I had come from. I said, from Mozan Kira Wali Riyasat Kapoor Thala, and I have come on leave. I work in the artillery, and I am the only Ahmadi there in the army. It is extremely difficult to preach in the army, although I am passionate to do so. The officers do not allow me to preach. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, you will not remain alone. Steadfastly continue preaching Ahmadiyya, do not become anxious or falter. The promised Messiah alayhi salam inquired, do you live in just one place in Chauni? I replied that every 3 years our location is changed. He said, wherever you go, make sure you meet the Jamaat there. Hazrat says, this is a golden principle and an important injunction that wherever you go, every Ahmadi must ensure he keeps connection with the local Jamaat. Hadrat Mamu Khan Sahib, son of Kale Khan Sahib, narrates, in 1902, I saw a dream that the moon breaks and falls into my lap. I related this dream to the late Sayyid Muhammad Shah Sahib Mativada, who was a sincere and devout Ahmadi. He explained that you will be granted honor and respect, or through you, an elder or holy person will become Ahmadi. At the time, I was 24 years old. Sayyid Muhammad Shah Sahib and myself were working in the same school. He started preaching to me. In those days, a prophecy relating to Pandit Lake Ram had become quite famous. I said to Shah Sahib, if this prophecy relating to Lake Ram comes true, then I will certainly take the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance. Subsequently, this prophecy was fulfilled and I immediately took the bet. At the time, Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib was alive. Through Sayyid Muhammad Shah Sahib, I wrote a letter pledging my allegiance. It was presented to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and the reply from him was written by Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib in writing. I received the letter that the bet, the pledge of allegiance has been accepted and the promised Messiah alayhi salam has prayed for you. In 1904, I took the bet through writing. And in 1906, I took the bet or the pledge of allegiance in person. Hadrat Mia Abdul Rashid Sahib relates, a non-Ahmadi youngster in Lahore who was employed in the railways was inclined to Arya concepts. His parents were extremely perturbed by this and took him to a Maulvi of the Begum Shahi Mosque. the youngster presented some criticisms of the Aryas to that Maulvi of the mosque. The Maulvi became enraged and furious and started running after him to beat him. Azur says that he presented criticisms of the Aryas, the Maulvi had no response, and in anger he was about to hit him. The youngster left everything behind, including his turban, and fled. People ran behind him. Seeing this predicament, an Ahmadi named Ahmad Din Sahib, who worked as a tailor, he also went alongside them and went all the way until his home. After ascertaining the facts of the incident, he came to me, that is, the Ahmadi came to me, Abdul Rashid, and he informed me of the predicament that youngster was in and said we most certainly should meet him and make efforts to reform his thoughts. Azur says this was the passion and heartfelt pain. He was concerned that how could a Muslim become an Arya? This passion was only in the Ahmadi. The Maulvis only wanted to beat the youngster. He writes that then, alongside my colleague, we went to the youngster. First, he avoided any discussion and said plainly that I have become an Arya. Anything you say will have no impact upon me. He had abstained from eating meat and had adopted all manners of the Aryas. He would go to the Arya gatherings, he would worship with the Aryas. But in any case, my continual visits and my persistence led him to becoming slightly more friendly. When he went for a walk, I would go alongside with him, and at times I would wait for him to leave the home so that I could go for a walk with him. After a few days, the Easter holidays arrived. I said to the youngster that come with me to Qadian. However, he was not prepared to do so, and would say that I am not ready to go to any Maulvi. I tried to explain profusely that you will be caused no harm in Qadian, and neither will anybody mistreat you. You can present whatever criticisms you may please, and I take responsibility for all of this. After much insistence, he agreed, and we went to Qadian. There we met Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin, Hazrat Khalif Domasi I, may Allah be pleased with him, who met the youngster with great kindness and compassion. And he said to the youngster that, present whatever criticisms are in your mind, we will provide the reply to them. So I said to him that this youngster has chosen abstinence to meat, etc. That he no longer eats meat and has adopted Hindu customs. Hazrat Khalif Domasi I then made arrangements for lentils and pita bread to be sent from his house for that youngster. The youngster was extremely impressed by this, that his specific requirements of food were being taken care of. I took him alongside me for the Zuhr prayers. After the prayer, the promised Messiah, in whom be peace, remained within Masjid Mubarak. In those days, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was writing some literature regarding the Aryas. Subsequently, he mentioned the criticisms of the Aryas within that gathering after the prayer and provided the response. This had a great impact upon the youngster. Many of the objections in his mind were dispelled, and he started developing interest regarding Islam. After the Asr prayer, I took him to a Darsul Quran of Hazrat Khalif Domasi I. Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, Hazur says, Hazrat Khalif Domasi I would give Darsul Qurans even during the time of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. He writes that I took him to the Darsul Qurans which were held in Masjid Aqsa. Then we both went to Hazrat Khalif Domasi I, and I said that I explained to this youngster. He replied that allow him to present his criticisms. He inquired about the eating of meat. Hazrat Khalif Domasi I provided an excellent response, and he was satisfied with the reply. After the Maghrib prayer, we once again came before the promised Messiah, who was sitting on an elevated place and was talking to the people around him. People normally ask questions through Hazrat Abdul Karim Sahib. This youngster listened to the discussions. After this, he raised no criticism. On the second day, at the time of Zuhr, he performed his ablution and offered the prayer. Then he heard the Dars of Hazrat Maulvi Sahib again. On the third day, this Arya youngster did the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and reverted to Islam once again. Now he holds so much love and passion for Islam that he goes to the gatherings of the Arya Samaj and preaches the qualities of Islam and responds to their criticisms and objections. Azur says, this was the heartfelt pain and passion in these persons. They did not want even one apostate of Islam to go to waste. Mia Abdulaziz Sahib Al-Maruf, Mughal Sahib, relates, And he is describing the state of the Pathan Maulvis. He says, in Nila Gumbat, a Pathan Maulvi was of middle age. I started preaching to him. He accepted that the promise of Messiah and Nubi peace was true. However, he said, it is useless for you to preach to me because it is the custom in our people that once we reject something, that even if God comes and informs us of it, we will still not accept it. It was related after that the end of the Maulvi was such that he committed suicide and died. There is a second account of his, and this is also coincidentally of a Pathan Maulvi. He ended up eating poison and killing himself over some love affair. He had a shop in the Lohari Mandi. Whenever we would pass by a shop, he would often say, there go the disbelievers or the kafirs. I said, at least investigate and examine the facts, instead of merely calling us kafir whenever we pass by. He said, even if God came to me and told me about this, I would still not accept it. He gave the same reply. Hadal Munshi Qazi Mahbub Alam Sahib states that I was doing the tabligh or preaching to Mia Musa Sahib. I sent him to Qadian. But he returned from Qadian with no end result and did not take the bid. From time to time, I would read to him the newspaper Al-Badr. Once I related to him a hadith that a Bedouin came before the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and addressing him stated, can you swear by God that you are a prophet of God? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I swear by God, I am a messenger of God. Then that Bedouin took the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance. And he also brought his tribe to take the bet. When I mentioned this incident to Mia Musa Sahib, it had a profound impact upon his heart. Subsequently, he promptly sent a card, in those days there was a card, which he sent to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, and said, can you swear by God that you are the Promised Messiah? When this card reached the Promised Messiah, may be peace, he instructed Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib that write to him that I swear by God that I am that Messiah and Mahdi whose promise was made by the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to this Ummat or Muslim community. Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib added one or two sentences himself, saying that now he had the oath of the Messiah of God. Either he should take the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance, or he should await for God's chastisement. When that card arrived, then Mia Muhammad Musa Sahib, along with his family, wrote a letter of bet, the Pledge of Allegiance. He says, in this manner, I am not alone. Allah the Almighty also included them as well. Munshi Qazi Mahbub Alam Sahib states that in Lahore there was a lawyer whose name was Kareem Baksh, and he was also known as Bakra. I do not know what kind of name this is, but he would use extremely profane and abusive language for the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. Once, during a debate, he said, who is it that says that the Jesus, peace be upon him, or the Messiah has passed away? I said that I testify that Jesus has passed away. Promptly, he slapped me with great force. I became unconscious and fell down. When I departed from there, the next night I saw in a dream that Kareem Baksh Bakra was lying on a broken bedstead. Under the bedstead is a pit, and he is falling within it. And he is in a state of extreme helplessness. When I woke up in the morning, I went to him, and I said that in a dream, I have been informed that you will be disgraced. After just a short while, one of his daughters, who was assaulted inappropriately, had to suffer great humiliation. An abortion was carried out, due to which the daughter was also killed. A police investigation followed. The lawyer had to bear great expenditure. In utter humiliation, he would not even leave his home. One day, he said, I called out to him and said, you would abuse the Promised Messiah alayhi salam profusely. Now, this is your penalty. He did not even respond. Hazur says, the state of affairs nowadays is such as that in Pakistan, if you approach a Maulvi even reasonably, as I stated, they use the law as a pretext to take legal action against such persons. They attach their honor and name with the name and honor of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and lodge cases of blasphemy against others. This is their state. Hazrat Munshi Qazi Mahbub Alam Sahib states, "When my nikah or marriage announcement occurred through the blessings of the promised Messiah, noon be peace, I preached to my mother-in-law, who was impressed quite greatly. She was not an Ahmadi. She was quite impacted but did not take the bed. One day she took off her jewelry and said, 'Present this to the promised Messiah, noon be peace, and say to him, that provide me the return or reward for this on the Day of Judgment.' Thus, I took this jewelry to Qadian and I presented it to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, saying that my mother-in-law has given this, saying that provide the return for this on the Day of Judgment. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, then spoke and said, 'Inshallah, she will receive the return or reward for this.' After a short while, she passed away. I did not join in her funeral prayer because she had not taken the bed formally or the Pledge of Allegiance. When I went to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and this is in 1906, I said that she had passed away, but I did not take part in her funeral prayer. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, said he should have offered her funeral prayer because she proved from her actions that she was an Ahmadi. Perhaps due to the environment or a lack of knowledge, she did not take the Pledge of Allegiance formally, but her actions and deeds prove that she was an Ahmadi. In terms of the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, which was the propagation of Islam and to establish a connection with God Almighty, for this she offered out of her most beloved possessions, such possessions that women love and still love today, that is, jewelry. She gave all of this for the propagation of Islam. She had fear of the Day of Judgment. In her heart was a desire to please God the Exalted. However, here it should be clarified that no one should infer from this incident that whoever says that we say nothing bad to Ahmadis or do not consider them as bad should be counted amongst the Ahmadis. In this specific incident, as I stated, this lady gave her most beloved possession and wealth for the sake of the propagation of Islam to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and this was the purpose for which the promised Messiah came. To just not consider Ahmadis bad or to consider them good in your heart is insufficient. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has said that if someone does not consider us bad, why do they not openly declare this? And if there are no compelling reasons or difficulties, why do they not take the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance? To just simply say we are not bad is insufficient. Every decision is made according to specific circumstances and according to the situation. Hazrat Ghulam Rasul Rajiki Sahib narrates that I took the bed, I read the books of the promised Messiah and developed a fervor and then started tabligh, preaching. In those days, my tactic of tabligh was that wherever I found four or five people sitting down, I would immediately say Assalamu Alaikum and then Mubarako, congratulations. People surprisingly would say, what is the matter? I would say the Imam Mahdi has arrived. Upon this, some would laugh, some would mock, some would inquire further. In short, in some way or the other, a discussion would start and I would find an opportunity to begin preaching. Hazrat says, with reference to finding opportunities for preaching, in many places, Jamaats all over the world are distributing leaflets. As a result of this, people raise questions and we provide the answers. And new avenues of preaching should open through this. It is insufficient that you merely provide a piece of paper through a leaflet that this is a message, a piece of the Jamaat, and then your responsibility ends. In fact, that connection needs to be followed up to the maximum extent possible. Nowadays, there are many mosques being inaugurated. Three mosques with the grace of Almighty Allah have already been inaugurated and three more are going to be inaugurated in the following month here in the UK. Now the UK Jamaat are also paying attention to this matter. Through these inaugurations of mosques, new avenues of preaching should open and new connections should be formed. The local Jamaats, wherever these mosques have been inaugurated, should strive to establish new relationships and connections with the local people. Because where opposition to mosques occur, this also incites interest. The reports from the new inauguration of mosques state that those who had no connection with us previously are now inquiring about the Jamaat. And when they try to find out details about us, we should take maximum benefit from this. Hazrat Murana Ghulam Rasul Sahib Rajiki Sahib relates that Mia Ghulam Muhammad Sahib, who was a Rai of his nation, and a resident of Moza Saudala, Khania District, Gujarat. He became an Ahmadi through me with the grace of Almighty Allah. Similarly, all the people of his brotherhood, in fact, even the Imam of the Mosque of Moza Saadullah, Maulvi Ghoz Muhammad Sahib, who was of the Ahle Hadith sect, he also became an Ahmadi through my preaching. Hazur says, thus, even amongst the Maulvis, there are good-natured and sincere people. Even today, such people exist in Pakistan and in other places of the world. Who, despite being extreme and strict in religious matters, and despite opposing Ahmadiyya due to having heard made-up facts and propaganda about us from people, when they learn of the truth and reality and understand and comprehend it, they take the bet, the pledge of allegiance. Hazrat Mia Muhammad Abdullah Sahib relates, amongst our family, Haji Fazluddin Sahib was the first to take the bet in Qadian in 1892. He was my paternal cousin, and he preached to my father and my other brothers until 1903. One night, my father saw a dream. A beautiful full moon is shining brilliantly from the direction of Qadian. My father interpreted this as a sign of truthfulness of the promised Messiah, whom be peace. All of us, on that very day, sent a letter of bet, pledging our allegiance. This same account continues of Hazrat Mia Muhammad Abdullah Sahib. He says, even before my bed, my pledge of allegiance, I used to carry out preaching. And after my bed, I carried out so much tabligh that hundreds of persons entered the fold of the Jamaat through it. Hazur says, there are numerous other similar accounts which, inshallah, God enabling, I will relate in the future. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of these Sahaba, these companions, who conveyed the message of the Imam of the time to so many people. Those persons then subsequently conveyed that to others, and this preaching continued in this sequence, in this manner. Today, their progeny is bearing the fruits of their efforts, their piety and their taqwa. Therefore, we should pray for those holy people and elders, those Sahaba, through whom Ahmadiyyat was introduced into these families and future progenies and generations. Thus, we should be extremely grateful to them. True gratitude will be expressed where while we pray for them on the one hand, we also strengthen our connection with the Jamaat, and we convey this message far and wide to the maximum degree possible. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to achieve this. Today there is also some sad news. One of our brothers has been martyred in Nawabshah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un Mukarram Maqsood Ahmed Sahib, son of Mukarram Idris Sahib. Previously he lived in Kalundri, but for the past 15 to 20 years he was living in Rabwa in Darul Rahmat Sharqi. Maqsood Sahib's family came from a village near Qadian called Bhatia. Ahmadiyyat was introduced in his family through his paternal grandfather, Maulvi Abdul Noor Haq Sahib. He took the bayat, the Pledge of Allegiance, in 1934. His grandfather had vast experience in agriculture and farming. For this reason, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II sent him to look after the land in Sindh in the beginning. He supervised lands in Nasirabad, Mahmudabad and also in other states. In 1942, he left the supervision of the Jamaat's estates. He purchased his own lands and he remained in Kherpur. On 21st December 1966, Abdul Haq Noor Sahib, his paternal grandfather, was also martyred. At the time, Maqsood Sahib was 12 years old. He was an eyewitness to that martyrdom. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV was mentioning the early martyrs, so in his sermon of June 1999, he also mentioned his paternal grandfather in the details of those martyrs. Until 1983, Maqsood Sahib remained in Kalundi, then he shifted to Rabwa. In fact, he was not there for 15 years, but rather for almost 26 years or such. Since he came to Rabwa, He worked in Raja Nasir Sahib's homeopathic company, the curative company. He was assigned as a salesperson in the Sindh region. He would go there on a visit every month to sell medicines or to take some orders. So he was on such a visit from 27 February in Sindh. On the day of his martyrdom, on 7 March 2012, in the morning approximately 11 o'clock, he reached Nawabshah. In the afternoon, approximately 3:30 p.m., he was in the well-known market, Moni Bazaar. Two unknown assailants on a motorbike stopped him and fired at him, and he was martyred there. Surely to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. The police took his dead body to the hospital. There a post-mortem was undertaken. As we are aware that this is the second martyrdom in Nawabshah within 10 days, he was a Musi. The wife of the martyred said that 2-3 months before today, the martyred said that I am receiving threats. Further, he would go to a shop of a Hindu person to obtain supplies. Some extremists even threatened the Hindu person that if this Mirzai comes to your shop again, we will kill you and this Mirzai. The wife of the person who was martyred says he was a person of high moral standing. He was regular in prayers and he would regularly also offer the optional prayers. He would offer prayers in congregation and he was at the forefront of financial sacrifices. He gave his wife's chanda himself before he went on his visit, and he also completed his own chanda arrears or contributions. He had great passion for calling people to God, which he had received from his paternal grandfather. During his tour, he would keep with him Jamaat literature and distribute it, and was very active in preaching. Certainly, due to his preaching efforts, opposition also arose against him. Even if he went there for a few days, he was introduced in the shops and the markets as an Ahmadi. And once he was introduced as such, he would also distribute literature to people. He was an extremely friendly, loving, and honest and upright person. He was at the forefront of service to mankind. He would provide medicine and help to poor people without charge and for free. He had great love for Khilafat, and he had a great affection and connection with the Qur'an. His wife mentions further that once I said to Mukarram Maqsoodama Sahib, that is her wife, that can we be counted amongst the families of the martyrs? He replied that why not, if Allah the Almighty accepts this request, we can. He leaves behind his wife Amtur Rashid Shokat Sahiba, and apart from this, he has three sons and two daughters leaves behind. One of his sons lives here in Manchester and he is unmarried. Amongst his daughter, one is married in America and one is in Rabwa, who works as a teacher in one of our schools. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased and grant patience and steadfastness to his family he leaves behind, and may God's chastisement rapidly descend upon the enemy. There is a second funeral which I will lead after the Friday prayers just now, of Hajira Begum Sahiba, the wife of the late Mystery Muhammad Hussain Sahib Darvesh Qadian. She also passed away in the night between 4th and 5th March at the age of 79. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She was a daughter of Mukarram Munshi Abdurrahman Rahim Sahib Fani of Amroha, who for the sake of migration moved to Qadian in 1950. She was married in 1951 and she lived with her husband for a long period of time in a Darveshi lifestyle with great steadfastness and gratitude. Despite having a large family of 5 sons and 5 daughters, so she had 10 children, she brought them up in an excellent manner with great moral upbringing. They are all married. The deceased was a Musia. She has been buried in Beheshti Maqbara Qadian. May Allah the Almighty grant forgiveness to the deceased and elevate her rank. And may He grant her a high station in paradise amongst those He is pleased with. And may Allah the Almighty grant solace and steadfastness and patience to the family she leaves behind.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر